Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
It's been a great conference, hasn't it?
Yes.
I am so thankful for the years that I've spent with ASA, and it's been quite a few of them, but ASA has had an incredible influence on my life and drawn me closer to the Lord, and the prayers of ASA members, many of whom were here today, and has meant just so much for me. So I want to start with, reading Colossians 1. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the preeminence. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Yes, this is from Romans 8, and it's from the New Testament for Everyone version, translation by N.T. Wright. Yes, creation itself is on tiptoe with expectation, eagerly awaiting the moment when God's children will be revealed. Creation, you see, was subjected to pointless futility, not of its own volition, but because of the one who placed it in this subjection, in the hope that creation itself would be freed from its slavery to decay, to enjoy the freedom that comes when God's children are glorified. Let me explain. We know that the entire creation is groaning together and going through labor pains together up until the present time. Not only so, but we too, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit's life within us, are groaning within ourselves as we eagerly await our adoption, the redemption of our body. We were saved, you see, in hope, but hope isn't hope if you can see it. Who hopes for what they can see? But if we hope for what we don't see, we wait for it eagerly, but also patiently. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you created us and you created this wonderful creation that we so appreciate. We thank you that you are in the process of redeeming us and all of creation. Thank you that your Holy Spirit has been sent to help us and empower us to be able to carry out your mandate. Be with us as we seek to go forward to do the things that you have for us, that you've mandated for us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Both at the beginning of the biblical story and at the end, we find some mysterious trees, trees that have fruits with very mysterious properties. And in Revelation, we see that these trees not only have fruit, but they have special leaves for the healing, not just of individuals, but the healing of the nations. Right now, we need healing of the nations, don't we? But in the middle of the biblical story, we find that creation groans, as Paul explains here in Romans. Creation is groaning. What's this groaning about? The Holy Spirit. We groan with creation. Creation groans. We groan. The Holy Spirit groans with us. Christopher Southgate has described this as a chorus of hopeful groaning. What is the groaning about? Well, some people interpret this as referring to evolutionary suffering. If God gave creation a certain amount of freedom so that it could create itself, that evolution could occur, then death is involved. as John Wood has explained many times to us, death is involved in evolutionary process, and that involves the suffering of creation. Perhaps a certain amount of it also comes from natural disasters. If you give creation itself, the natural elements, freedom, then things happen, and natural disasters may be part of this. But certainly we, although we were given a mandate to tend and care for the garden, we have contributed to this groaning by, well, Genesis talks about the earth being full of violence. God saw that the earth was full of violence. And not only that, but also we have defiled the creation order. We have defiled things. We are meant to be God's image bearers, his representatives on earth, those who mirror and show what God is like. And given this mandate to tend and care for the garden, but we messed up on some things here. Creation will be freed somehow along with, according to Paul in this passage from Romans, the working out of the freedom of God's children. And maybe this has something to do with us taking part in the healing of creation, the healing of nature. And as scientists, this is something that I think we should think about. We've been given skills by God to do things that can alleviate suffering. And our scientific skills may be part of the means by which God will ultimately fulfill at least part of his plans. In the Colossians passage, we saw that it was Jesus' resurrection that ushered in the new creation. All things will be redeemed in him through his death and through his reconciliation. I was brought up to believe that John 3:16 refers, you know, to me as an individual, and probably you were as well. But if you look at the passage in Greek where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son," it actually, the word in Greek is cosmos. God so loved the cosmos that he gave his only son. And I know the ancient writers did not really understand all that we know about the cosmos, but I think this probably is meant to include the all things that Paul talks about in Colossians. All things will be redeemed in him. So God loves not just me and you as individuals, although he does, and he doesn't just love my denomination, your denomination, my country, or your country, all those other countries, but he loves the whole cosmos. Timothy Keller has been known for saying, if Jesus really rose from the dead, then everything will be all right. That means the kingdom of God that Jesus talked about will be inaugurated on earth. If Jesus really rose from the dead, the kingdom of God will be inaugurated on earth. And there will be redemption for all creation. The kingdom is coming. Well, what does this cosmos refer to? If there are really aliens, like in the States at the moment, there have been some reports in Congress. I'm not saying that there really are aliens. I have no idea. It's up to God, you know. But if there were to be aliens, it would also mean that they are part of God's creation and part of what God is in the process of reconciling to himself, and will be part of what is unfolded in the, somehow, in the new creation order. We know that God's plan is for us as image bearers to help to complete this creation work. Somehow creation's hope, according to Paul in Romans, is linked to humanity. And we may not understand all this, but I certainly don't. And I also have a degree in theology from Regent. But in addition to my biological training, but it seems to me very difficult to understand here, but we are certainly meant to fulfill the mandate that we were given at the outset, and that may be part of this freedom that creation will eventually experience when the freedom of God's children is revealed. As scientists, we know that science can only take us so far. Science ends in a universe of futility, eventually either a big crunch or a big freeze. But Jesus' resurrection is the guarantee, the first fruits, the guarantee that the kingdom is coming. If Jesus rose from the dead, everything will be all right. The kingdom will come. C.S. Lewis said in his book, Miracles, quote, "The picture is not of unmaking, but of remaking. The old field of space, time, matter, and the senses is to be weeded, dug, and sown for a new crop. We may be tired of that old field, but God is not," end quote. Jesus didn't leave his old body behind in the grave. It was transformed. And so I expect that he won't leave this old earth behind, but it will also be transformed. N.T. Wright has said, he's kind of famous for this, "Heaven is undoubtedly important, but it's not the end of the world." Meanwhile, we who are here, live in a time of already the beginning, the first fruits, but not yet inaugurated. We live between creation and eschaton. We live between the inauguration of the new creation as well and the coming eschaton. The time between the times, as the German theologians used to say. But as scientists, we have some skills. We've been given some skills by God, and we've also been given the Holy Spirit. If you read a bit further on in Romans 8, the Spirit is with us. The Spirit enables us, and the Holy Spirit will enable us, groan with us, and enable us to help fulfill these mandates. We groan for polar bears that are dying of starvation, but the kingdom is coming. And as scientists, we can do something to help their habitats. We groan for Veronica's penguins. Is Veronica here? I remember from last year, Veronica's lovely penguins. The penguins are, some of them are dying from diseases related to climate change. But the kingdom is coming, and as scientists, we can do something to help alleviate those suffering. We can nurture their habitats. We groan for those who died of COVID and those who will yet die in this coming year of COVID. But the kingdom is coming, and as scientists, those in medical-related science, we have some skills that can help alleviate this suffering. God has given us this. We groan as well for those who have died and will continue to die from misinformation, right? But sadly, but as scientists, we have some skills in communication, in letting the world know what's going on and speaking the truth. Because the kingdom is coming, we need to do this. We groan for those who will be displaced, lose their livelihoods, lose their homes, and have to migrate because of climate change, and some who will ultimately die. But the kingdom is coming, and God has given us as scientists the job of alleviating some of this suffering and of making people aware of what's happening. The kingdom is coming, so plant a seed. The kingdom is coming, so tend your garden. The kingdom is coming, so plant a tree. Amen.